What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're in a weird place with the Guardians right now. At a place so weird that Zach Meisel is as flustered and frustrated as I've ever heard Zach Meisel. Here's him on his Selby is Godcast podcast.
They make it so hard to talk about them because so many of the flaws are self-inflicted. Or if you don't want to criticize the front office and ownership for maybe not doing more over the offseason or not trading prospects for established big league talent, then we could spend the next 45 minutes talking about their continued failure at developing position player prospects. It's a whole organizational thing. The counter argument to everything I'm saying is that, well, like, they've been a winning team since blah, 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 and they've made the playoffs in this many years. And yeah, that's more aggravating, I think, to people, because you're shown that, like, you can do enough to get there, but you can't do more. You can't take the next steps. You can't improve yourself organizationally to the level that you don't have to hang your hat on that. Not only are they miserable and struggling, but my God, are they a boring brand of baseball to watch right now.
You had home remodelers in your home yesterday. And you were inundated with a couple of, inundated is the wrong word, but what the hell. You had people in your home who were not fans of Cleveland sports. Please make the comparison, if you will, because I think it's an apt one.
Yeah, these guys working were from Pittsburgh. And by the way, had no idea who Andrew Filippone was, which I thought was embarrassing. But they are big sports fans, huge
Steeler
fans.
Not embarrassing for them, embarrassing
right.
for Pony.
Oh, yeah. In the worst way possible. Send this clip over to Pony. Yes. I mean, you've got to figure that out. Anyway, so he's talking about how they're not excited at all. I'm like, well, you just got Aaron Rodgers. What are you talking about? How could you not be excited? Even if you don't think Aaron Rodgers.
Figure that out.
even if you don't think Aaron Rodgers, I mean, these guys are in work vehicles all day. I've never heard Andrew Filippone. It's really connecting to your listeners. Your blue collar workers.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I'm sitting there going, how could you not be excited? Like, it's a new quarterback again. There's always new excitement with a new quarterback, especially one that's a Hall of Fame talent. We just hear people, we've had people on the station say he's still got the arm talent. So what's not exciting about that? And he's like, yeah, we think we'll just be decent, but no chance to win anything in the playoffs. We'll make the playoffs and that's it. And I'm like, man, that is just such a different state of affairs than I'm used to. But then I'm like, wait a second, is that where the Guardians are at now? Where making the playoffs just doesn't seem to titillate the fans the way we thought it maybe should in this city.
I think you're right. Because apathy seems to be setting in for a lot of fans. And I kind of want to ask, has apathy set in for you? I mean, I'm hearing us talk about There's going to be, I got a spicy one at 8:45 I have to shoot right down out of the sky about the Cleveland Guardians. That is, I mean, you guys are, we're talking about sacred cows here with one idea that some fans have. And I'm not going to say it yet, but I'm telling you right now, it's going to be world rocking coming up at 8:45 this morning. But talking about trading Stephen Kwan, talking about trading Emmanuel Clase, bringing whoever up, it's still a 500 ball club. You're only a game out of the wild card as of going into yesterday. There were games in Major League Baseball yesterday, so I'd have to take another look at that. But I ask, has apathy set in? But is it rightfully so that the apathy is set in? Because I also say, well, I don't think that they're going to make any trades to add to this ball club. In fact, I probably think that if they were going to trade anything, they would trade players away. So why should fans get themselves excited? And to say that they are the Pittsburgh Steelers of Major League Baseball is about as right as you possibly can be. They don't fire coaches. They don't fire guys in the front office. They bump up guys in the front office. They leave on good terms in their front office. They're usually pretty good at drafting. They're usually pretty good at talent acquisitions, which are free agents or trade deadline players that can help fill in and do some good things for them. But they're never taken dreadfully seriously. They play well enough to get your hopes up for a moment, to get you to love them, but then there's a problem with that. But there's a tremendous difference. The NFL is still set up in a way that if you had everything that the Guardians have, you should be a perennial contender, and you should probably win Super Bowls. In Major League Baseball, you still can't guarantee any of this for a long period of time. So I still have to treat the postseason, because of the system that they're in, I still have to treat it as special. And you could have it in the back of your mind and think, yeah, you know, they're probably not going to go that far. They probably wouldn't go that far if they made the postseason this year. But I think considering everything that they've been through so far this year, if they were to make the postseason right now, I think that'd be an accomplishment for the Guardians.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I've always thought, you know, every sport is different and every setup is different, especially depending on who your team is, who your owner is, what the state of affairs is. There's 30 different reasons to hate every owner in sports. So let me ask you this when it comes to just the Guardians' philosophy. Because we start talking about whether apathy could be setting in with a team that, by the way, is played terrible baseball now for a while. For the last 3 weeks, they've been awful, awful. They're one game out of the wild card. Now, that has more to do probably with just the logjam of, you know, the wild card situation in the American League. Clearly, they're not winning the division. I mean, Detroit is running away with this thing and have the best record in baseball still, I believe. Isn't the whole philosophy, we're never going to have a payroll here. That's just a reality of what it is. And I'm convinced, by the way, even when ownership changes, I don't think we're going to have some huge payroll. It'll get bumped up. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near what fans would hope it is. So in this town, in this market, in this state of affairs of Major League Baseball, at least we'll see what happens after, if there's a lockout or work stoppage, whatever, that just get into the playoffs by any means necessary. And once you're in the playoffs, you're hoping that the crapshoot of Major League Baseball will allow you to have some magic.
If you were...
Isn't that the whole...
And
by the way, isn't that the case for most of baseball?
Yeah.
Isn't that how most of baseball is operating?
Well, I think that that's part of the problem, is that I think it's not just apathy with the Guardians fans, which I'm talking about the general fan. I think that there's some guys who are baseball first listening to this who are disgusted about hearing about apathy about the Cleveland Guardians. Absolutely 100% true. But I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to the general fan in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. I'm talking to that general fan out there anyway, because the general fan, they have a chance to get passionate about football. Football is number one for all the country, and it seems to be on an even playing field. Baseball, it's not always on an even playing field. L.A., both New York teams, they're on a different level. They're just on a different level right now. The Cubs, they might have the wherewithal to be on a different level. You would think Boston would, but they're ripping away salary and they're investing in the wrong people, whatever it might be. I don't know. That's their problem, not mine. The teams that seem to have an actual chance to do it are doing it. The other teams, I think they're just trying to survive throughout this and trying to make a good show of it. That's why I think that the whole, well, you never know with baseball, how many times has the team spent the most money actually won the World Series? Yeah, it's a great point back then. But before these TV deals all went to hell, these regional TV deals, I say, yeah, watch it be the Dodgers, Yankees, or Mets here over the next 5 years. One of those three teams. That's not good for your sport, no matter how much money you're counting publicly.
Would they rather have the Guardians load up every five seasons on payroll and just, hey, this is our shot. And then we fade away into irrelevance those other years. Because I don't think this town, I don't think baseball could be sustainable.
No, I don't think they could survive it. I think that it would change. If you were to find a floor and a cap, which is something we've talked about like crazy, if you were to find a floor and a cap, then yeah, I think that there might be an argument to be made about stale baseball, stale competition, like what you've had with the Steelers. But this is all made. The Steelers aren't afraid anybody else is going to spend more money. They can spend the money. It's just whether or not that they've been led by the wrong guy or the guy who's become the wrong guy too long, the wrong people too long. If they haven't replaced the guys they needed to replace fast enough yet. With us, it's like, hey, you can do these things and you can get a little better here and a little better there, but it always seems to be in bad timing. And we're never going to be a team that's able to buy because we can't afford. And so when you are in a league that is capped now, hey, the Cavs can afford. And a lot of teams now, because of the second apron, they can also afford. It makes it a little bit easier for everybody. Now, I still think that you need a Titan to go after. But if I know in my heart of hearts that I don't even have a chance to go after those teams, or if I feel that way, then I'm not going to be able to draw as much general interest. So if we've said it a million times, if the Dolans owned an NFL franchise, hey, you'd be as good as anybody out there. The Dolans own a Major League Baseball franchise. And you only have so much money that you're going to be able to work with. Yeah, I know about the Dolan family trust and everything. That ain't Paul Dolan's money. But you only have so much money that you're going to work with, and you're not going to spend into the red. Because it's going to be run like a business. And so I, as a fan, have to deal with that, and I don't think fans should have to talk about the business end of it all the time.
So do you think if they're one game,
it always reverts back to that.
If they're hovering around the wild card all summer long, but they're just not playing great baseball, it seems like that'll be doable. Is that not going to be enough for fans to be interested?
I think it'll be enough for fans to be frustrated to a level before football and basketball start.
Oh, and you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough.
They've been hovering around the wild card since 2013.
Yeah.
And I've been to the ballpark enough to know that nobody's there. Unless they go out and make these huge runs. They've got to be in charge of the division.
Yeah. He's right. I mean, you can hover around the wild card.
Well, so they'll just wait for the playoffs. And then once the playoffs start, it's all in again.
Because it's a playoff team. It's a Cleveland team that has a chance.
If you believe that this team's making the playoffs right now.
But that's what Owen's saying. They'll show up, but they can't guarantee that team's going to make the playoffs. The team started out really well last year. They want a payoff on that this year. You're not going to get it because, yeah, I think it's a valid excuse about their television deal not being able to fulfill their payroll. But this is just the fact of the matter of what they're going through right now, and we have to deal with it as fans, even though it's immensely frustrating because you don't want to hear about how poor millionaires are. So you're hitting your head against a wall going, why do I always have to talk about the business of the game? I don't always have to do that in the NBA. Now's the time to do that. I don't have to do that during the season. You don't have to do that during the NFL season. I mean, honestly, what cost the Browns more? Was it the Deshaun Watson money or was it the picks? It was the picks. They got the money, and they always find a way to get the money. So that doesn't matter. That's why people get hooked on football. Because anybody in any city that has any allegiance to any NFL team feels like they have a shot, and it's a conversation we have constantly. So until Major League Baseball fixes that, then yeah, we're going to be still mired in this where I have a great franchise that's ran by smart people that has one of the all-time great Cleveland athletes playing on it and will continue to have the same frustrations as we've had ever since the station started unless something gets fixed. And I know that because I think we had the same conversation 2 weeks ago. So it never changes. Because it's summertime and I got to talk about the baseball here that's going on, and the baseball hadn't been very good so far lately. And it's frustrating to a lot of people because you're supposed to be a defending divisional champion.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, Every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Because I don't think he knows exactly where I'm going. Welcome back to Basket of Phelps. That's Daryl Ryder over there. I'm Jeff Phelps. Anthony and Michael are with us today. Thanks, boys. Doing a good job. Appreciate that. So the thinking here, Daryl, is this. Congratulations to the Guardians. They've won some games here. And they're winning games the way that the Guardians seem to have historically won games. And I don't mean like, you know, forever. I mean recent years.
Jeff.
How do you win games? Don't yell at me yet. Let me roll it out, will you?
Okay.
Then you can yell at me. They've won games by having a dominant bullpen and pretty darn good starting pitching. Pretty darn good. And enough offense to get her done. Now, after not being very good, they had lost, 13 of 19 games. And now they've won two straight. It's only two straight.
And if they win one more, that's called a winning streak.
It has happened before.
Thank you.
The Guardians are in second place right now. It doesn't mean much because they're nine games back, but they're in second place.
Second place, nine games back.
Well, there's not two teams ahead of them. There's now just one. So that's a good thing. Here's the thing that's a little bit of a concern. They've won the last two games. In fact, let's go back a little further. Their last five games, here's the concern. Run totals. Counting back from last night.
Oh, there is a concern in here?
A little bit. 4-3-0-3-2. So they haven't scored more than four runs in any of the last five games.
Hang on, because I did some math, and now I'm going to go. You said 4-3-0-2.
12 runs in the last five games. Okay. There, I did it for you. 12 runs in the last five games. So that's less than three a game.
It's not great.
No, but It looks like to me, starting to look like, the starting rotation is getting to the point where it's complementing a bullpen that's been really good, and it has me wondering, and not just these two games in San Francisco, that's not anywhere near sample size enough, but just watching with my eyes, knowing what I know about starting pitching, We know its role in baseball, especially today. You know, get me into the fifth inning. You don't even have to get me through the fifth inning anymore. Just get me into the fifth, and you're out after 4 2/3. You're out after 4 1/3. You get me into the sixth, congratulations. That's great. But I think they're starting to show that they might have something here with the starting rotation. And I say it for a couple of reasons. Last night, we saw Logan Allen. And, you know, Logan last year had some issues. Some of them might have been not being very coachable. Well, right?
Yeah. Somewhat important.
You're over there covering the team, correct?
Occasionally.
They sent him down, and hey, you better start listening. Their rotation right now, Tanner Bibee, Luis Ortiz, Gavin Williams, Logan Allen, and Slade Ciccone right now. All five of those guys either 25 or 26 years old. You see where I'm going here?
Yeah.
All five of those guys in their mid-20s. We don't have any 32, 33, 34-year-old guys who may have, you know, some time left. We have five guys there who have 10 years ahead of them in Major League Baseball. Will they all be here? No, of course not. Will they all pan out? No, of course not. But you have five guys who are doing okay right now, Daryl. I mean, Logan Allen looked good last night. Slade Ciccone throws it well. And, you know, he's the new guy in the rotation. Bibee, Ortiz, Williams, and Allen have been there all season long. They're all 25 or 26. Look down into the minors. And now here's where I'm getting to something. Parker Messick is 24. He's a lefty. They got a lot of lefties at AAA.
Yeah.
Doug Nikhazy's 25, lefty. Ryan Webb, lefty. He's 26 years old. And these guys aren't just guys. Messick was a second-round pick. Nikhazy was a second-round pick. Ryan Webb was a fourth-round pick. I didn't even count Joey Cantillo, who I like a lot. I'm surprised he's not back up here. He's not back up here because they're trying to stretch him out, and nobody in the rotation needs taken out. You're getting to the point where that surplus of pitching might come back again, which leads me to the trade thought. This team showing some life right now. Not a lot of life. You're 9 games out. But, Daryl, if you have five guys in your rotation who are in their mid-20s, 25 or 26, and you have four guys knocking on the door in AAA, you could trade one or two of those guys. You have Shane Bieber coming back. You could trade Shane Bieber if he shows something. Let's say Shane has a good starter three before the trade deadline. He has a player option for next year. He can opt out. Well, why would you keep him? Put down one of these guys who are pitching pretty well. Take him out of the rotation. If Shane's not going to come back next year, you might be able to trade a guy like Bieber or a guy like Nikhazy or one of the guys in the rotation now. Go get a bat or two. Young bat, close to major league ready, maybe major league ready. And really take a run at this wild card thing. And once you're in, you're in. Especially if your young rotation's doing a nice job. Because your bullpen's been really good. There's my thought.
In their last 21 games, Jeff, they're 8-13. And in 12 of the 21 games, they've scored 3 or fewer runs. This is not a team.
You know what that screams to me, Daryl?
It screams, this is not a team that's on the rise, Jeff.
You know what that screams to me, Daryl?
They better throw a lot of shutouts.
It means, wow, with this pitching, the way it's coming on, you do have an arm or two you can trade for a bat, put it in the lineup, and go get yourself in the wild card.
You're outside your mind. You are outside your mind. They are so far away from being a serious threat to anybody. Right now, they've got 3 legitimate players in their lineup. Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez.
By the way, I saw a Kwan trade rumor the other day. I thought, oh no, don't do that.
Carlos Santana.
I'll say they have 2.5 players. Carlos is more than solid. The minute that I get the right offer for Carlos, I'm saying thank you again. You might be back for a fourth time, but this is the end of your third trip in Cleveland.
Yeah, we need to play some kids at first base.
Without question.
Like they've got
without question.
Here's their problem. They've got log jams from a roster standpoint, and none of them are any good. They've got log jams of average players to below average players who can't hit their weight.
Is that a problem?
Just a little bit.
I get the hitting is a major problem. I get it. But my thought is you're starting once again to get that type of rotational pitching.
Jeff, they're
powered. That might give you an arm or two that you can move. And maybe not even the arms we talked about. Take it down a level. You know, go to high A ball. Go to double A ball. Move an arm for a bat.
The sad part of this is their power numbers this year are better than they were last year. They don't have anyone on base when they're hitting these home runs. Now, last night with Schneeman, exception to rule, 3-run blast, great, right? But most of the time, it's usually a solo homer or a 2-run shot. They don't put innings together with any semblance of consistency. The old get them on, get them over, get them in, aggressive base running. Unless your name is Jose Ramirez, it is not working.
Daryl, end your argument. They can't hit there. However, maybe you're getting enough pitching that you can trade some for some bats.
I don't think they have enough pitching. I don't think they have enough big league pitching right now.
I didn't. What did I say?
I know.
I said it's coming on. You might be getting there. You've got eight guys anyway.
Injuries,
right there in their mid-20s.
Injuries the last 3 years have depleted all that they, right? Because 2 years ago, we were like, man, the same argument you're making right now, Jeff,
I know,
is the same thing we were talking about 2 to 3 years ago when we're like, look at all these arms that they have in the minor leagues that are coming up, and then injuries hit and all these arms had to come up, and then the arms came up and those arms got hurt. Like, I understand where you're coming from that, okay, the pipeline has been replenished a little bit here and maybe some guys are on the way.
But here's the thought.
Man, they are nowhere near putting together anything that resembles a complete ball club that's pitching, hitting, defense, base running, all the tools in there, Jeff. They are, in my view, galaxies away from that. Are they good enough to steal that final wild card spot that you're clinging to? They're in second place, 9 games back, but hey, they're in wild card position. Okay, that's great, but understand they're going nowhere. Well, when they get there, they're going nowhere. They are a threat to nobody.
But see, I disagree with that, because if you're in a series,
anything can happen.
Especially if you have good pitching.
But if you can't hit in the regular season, all of a sudden your bats aren't finding baseballs in the playoffs either.
I'm not going to argue that point. My point is this. The way that they're built right now, to me, they're not a playoff team, and not necessarily, even if they got in, able to do any damage. I'm wondering, can they thread that needle where they have the pitching? All of a sudden, hey, these guys are starting to pop, even with Ben Lively out for over a year. You know, here comes Slade Ciccone. He's done a really nice job. Can these guys keep getting better to the point where you think we can move, not necessarily one of those guys, we can move
something in the minor leagues.
We can move a highly thought of player in the minors and add a bat or two.
Here's the problem. That's not how the Guardians do business, though. They hang on to their young arms, because what's the most expensive thing in baseball?
Although pitching. Last year you traded one for Lane Thomas.
I understand that.
And Jose Tano.
I hear you.
So, but I'm just wondering, are they starting to feel confident again in that rotation?
Where they're really good at organizationally, Jeff, is the trade market.
Picking up guys who are unknown in other markets or who we don't know when they get here.
They're right there. Yeah.
Luis Ortiz.
Well,
like
Emmanuel Clase.
Slade Ciccone.
Emmanuel Clase is a brilliant example.
Andy and I talked about this yesterday.
Take
it back, go Corey Kluber.
Yeah,
Clevinger.
They are brilliant at moving on from guys.
At the right time.
They are very good at selling high right when that guy is about to go down. Like, they're really good at identifying where the peak is and then they get out, and they've been, and that's how they're able to replenish their farm system, replenish the major league roster with young talent. The biggest problem that they've got, they're really staring down the barrel of, is Stephen Kwan and getting him extended.
I think the other thing they're looking at right now is Shane Bieber. And Daryl, I want your thoughts when we come back. Is he in the rotation or is he on the trade block? I think that's a huge question here coming up. It's Baskin and Phelps. Daryl's in for Andy today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Stephen Kwan outstanding last night. Guardians won 3-2. I said, how do you know the Guardians won in a West Coast game when things aren't going that well? You didn't wake up the cuss out tweets over the Cleveland Guardians. Adios, courtesy of Guardians TV. And to talk about the Cleveland Guardians, whether or not I couldn't believe the title, Todd, of the last Dairy Brothers Guardians cast on the free Odyssey app. He joins us right now at Dairy Brothers Pod on Twitter. Todd, it was, have the Guardians raised the white flag already on the season? We are at a critical mass right now, buddy.
First of all, good morning. Second of all, I didn't realize that Ken Carmen show with Anthony Lima is your place for Wiggles breakdowns. That was very, I enjoyed that. I remember when my brother used to take my now 23-year-old nephew to see the Wiggles back in the day. So still going. Good to hear.
They have been around for a long time. I didn't realize 1991. You're correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the meantime, back to your initial question, the white flag waving is a constant theme with this organization. It doesn't matter if they're in it or not, because the truth about this organization is they're always playing the long game. And I think that anyone who is watching this team on a regular basis, knows. And if we know, then the front office knows this team's not built to go deep in October. Therefore, the majority of the people on this team who are not part of the long-term future are in play for other teams. I truly believe that.
Boy, that's a sobering thing. It's hard for me to get mad at you, though, because I think it's the truth. So you would say that as we get closer to the end of July, hey, man, Emmanuel Clase on the deck, Stephen Kwan on the deck?
That was my question, Todd. Is Kwan part of the long-term future of the Guardians?
I would say there's two. Well, I'm not going to say. If the position player-wise, Kwan is completely untouchable because I think that they're actively trying to extend him. Whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. I don't see him taking a Jose Ramirez type situation. I don't think Stephen Kwan's on the table. And anyone, by the way, let's just put this out there. And I saw someone, and I referenced this on the pod. I saw someone put out there, don't be mad at me when Jose Ramirez gets traded in the next 2 weeks. Guys, he's got a no trade clause, and he's already stated he loves it here. If he wanted to go somewhere else, he would have left 2 years ago and gotten double the money that he signed for here. He's not being traded. Okay, so let's just get rid of that idea altogether.
Uh-huh. Like, there's no way, you don't think there's any way if this season is just an irrelevant, goes down in history books as an irrelevant Guardian season, and they have no chance to really compete for anything. And it looks like there are some concerns about the short-term future of this team that he could turn into somebody who's maybe not exactly thrilled with the situation.
No, he's not that guy. If he cared about the most money or what he would have gone to the highest bidder and gone somewhere else. He is a creature of comfort. He loves this franchise. He is going to have a statue built. He's going nowhere. It's been, let's not forget, like, as bad as this season has gone, they're like a game out of the wild card. Not that this is going to turn around, because I don't see it. They're a game out of the wild card, and they're less than a year removed from being in the ALCS. And the way Jose has been a fixture in this lineup for over, for 12 years, and he's seen 2022 when they made the playoffs, and then 2023 backslid, and then 2024 made the playoffs. This is a smart, smart guy. Because we don't hear him give interviews a lot, I don't think he gets enough credit for how truly smart and a brilliant baseball mind he is. He's going nowhere. On the other side of it, you mentioned Emmanuel Clase. I brought this up 2 weeks ago. I think he's the biggest trade chip they have. And after next season, he has back-to-back team options at $10 million. And you know, when those prices rise, we like to get out from underneath those contracts. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he has those club options and is still one of the best closers in the game makes him big-time trade target for a team who could use a back-end guy in their bullpen like the Phillies. You know, the Yankees haven't had great success with Devin Williams. And the Guardians have Cade Smith ready and waiting in the wings. And the Guardians don't pay closers, $10 to $12 million. It's just, that's not what they do. I'm not defending it in any way, but that's just not what they do. If you don't see this, you haven't been paying attention for the last, what's the Dolan ownership at now? 25, 26 years? Mm-hmm. Those are facts.
Todd Derry joining us on the show. So going back to Stephen Kwan, staying?
Yes. No way they trade Stephen Kwan. No way.
So they'll just go to arbitration in the offseason?
Yes, unless they can come up with an extension. The one thing about this franchise is you never hear them talking about extensions, and then just one day they pop up. They have reached out to him and his people at various points in the last 2 years about that. But it just depends on the agent and the player. And if I'm Stephen Kwan, as much as I love Stephen Kwan and I would love him to be here for a long time, I mean, if you have no allegiance, this is a guy from, Northern California. Who knows? Maybe the Giants come in one day and throw him a ridiculous number. I mean, not everyone's Jose Ramirez, guys, and that's the sad fact about this organization and about the sport in general, is that the big money teams continue to outspend the middle market teams, and that's just
again, that's the that's baseball, Susan.
Well, could this be one of the sticking points of the CBA? And we're going to get a little wonky here. So Lima, pull me up back out of it after this question, because he's 27 right now. Stephen is right. Mm-hmm. And I think Stephen Kwan, he's not dumb, and he knows the business, and we know what he wrote in the journal. And I think Stephen Kwan's probably sitting there going, I'm making 4.1 this year. I have arbitration for the next 2 years, so that's going to put him at 30 years old. He plays a leadoff speed position, and he's got to be frustrated. And when it comes to a work stoppage, he's like, all right, I know that the owners want a salary cap. I know that the fans want a salary floor. I think that one of the sticking points with the players and the owners has to be freeing up the first 6 years, because I think a guy like Stephen Kwan feels very frustrated that he's stuck making this amount of money at this point in his career.
I would definitely agree with that. I think they screwed up the last time around when they had the CBA, and you know, the thought was, oh, there's going to be a big work stoppage and they're going to come up with a floor, and you know, they're going to take away some of these arbitration years to let these younger guys hit free agency sooner, and you know, the holding guys down for service time. None of that was addressed. you do realize that. I mean, that's what's so ridiculous about the whole thing. None of those things were addressed. The players' union in baseball, as we know, is the strongest union in all of sport. They have somehow managed to keep the sports salary cap free, and the luxury tax is a joke, because these franchises that go over the luxury tax all can afford it. So it's stupid. 2026, they're going to have a work stoppage one way or another. If you're Stephen Kwan, do you want to get out in front of that and get your extension? Maybe. Or maybe your agent and others, you know, in the know, tell him, listen, wait this out, and you know, on the other end, you'll be taken care of. But you do bring up a good point, Ken. I mean, maybe that, listen, look at Tanner Bibee, right? Tanner wanted that financial security. I have no idea if that was part of it, knowing the work stoppage is coming, but Tanner out of nowhere signed that extension. We didn't hear about anything other than, you know, leading up to, and then he just signed it. And maybe he wanted that financial security. I mean, it's easy for, you know, a baseball player to go, I'm going to bank on myself and I'm going to get $200 million. And, you know, you're always one injury away from that potentially going away. And how much, you know, it's the Jose Ramirez line. How much money is enough? He said, even if I take, you know, way under market value, I'm still setting up my family for the rest of their lives and my grandchildren for the rest of their lives. I think a lot of it is just dependent on the player and dependent on the agent.
We've got Todd Derry joining us right now on the hotline. So we're thinking about, you know, finding ways to get, you know, some of the young players in the farm system involved. One of the problems is, though, that the young guys we have up here, they're either blocked out or they're not really contributing all that much at the plate. So what do you think the next move is for this organization?
You know, there's C.J. Kapus, there's Chase DeLauder, Juan Brito at some point. The most unfortunate thing is, you know, the hoarding of the middle infielders, and none of them have worked out, was a gigantic mistake by this organization. We talked about it for, you know, the last 4 years. I mean, it's the same guys, and no one has stepped forward. I think the first move that they make, if they do fall further out of it, Carlos Santana will probably be moved, because it's just an easy move to, you know, find a taker for him. And then it just opens up a spot for CJ Kapus to come up, and he and Manzardo handle, first base and, you know, and platoon DH with David Fry. Chase Sellers should be here by now. This organization refusal to bring up guys and let them potentially learn at the major league level has frustrated me for years. And it's extremely frustrating now, because, you know, I know that Nolan Jones is swinging the bat of, you know, better of late, but he's not the answer. Okay. They traded for Nolan Jones because of his power. He's 3 home runs, guys. 3. Okay. So
his exit velo is great. Just busting Pete Lindstone. I'm sorry. I have to do that.
No, I know. I can't stand that stuff. I mean, it just drives me insane. I know what my eyes tell me, and Nolan Jones is not the answer. Okay. I'd love, give me Chase DeLauder. Oh, but they want to make sure that he plays enough games in AAA and is healthy enough. Who cares? Why can't he prove that up here? And I know the gap in pitching and the pitching between AAA and the majors now is wider than it's ever been. But did you notice that the Boston Red Sox, you know, the big market Red Sox, have brought up Rome Anthony and Marcelo Mayer, their top two prospects recently, to take and playing them every day? Well, you know, how come that's it? Nick Kurtz was a first-round draft pick the same season as Travis Mazzana. He's already up to the A's. Caglione in Kansas City, they've already brought him up. Meanwhile, Travis Mazzana, 1-1, I think he'd be here if he didn't hurt himself and have that oblique injury because, let's be honest, I like Daniel Schneemann as a utility man. Right now, Daniel Schneemann's basically hitting fifth or sixth every night when Vogt decides to play him because the second, you know, the rest of the lineup from 5 to 6 to 9 every night is 4A Central. It's maddening. It is absolutely maddening. But I think Kathis, DeLauder, and eventually when Brito is healthy, those three guys will come up. But it's going to be too little too late at this point. I just, you don't, when you're basically scoring two to three runs a night and have to win every game 3-2, does that make you excited about this team's potential in October, even if they do get there somehow? Because it doesn't excite me.
No, it doesn't. Do you have a lot of confidence in Stephen Vogt still?
Yeah. You know, listen, it's still second year.
I'm just making sure. Don't be insulted.
No, I'm sorry, Kenny. My apologies. Yeah. Let me change my tone.
There you go.
Okay? No, I do not have any qualms about Stephen Vogt's managing. He's been totally fine. He's still Tito Jr. with the players. They all swear by him. The in-game stuff. Listen, nobody's perfect. I mean, we ripped Tito for the last probably 4 or 5 years of the Tito era on some of the moves he made. But, you know, he's also playing the cards he's dealt. And when you have a roster littered with 4A guys and, you know, it's a lot of it is moving the chess pieces or rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic sometimes.
All right, Todd. Thank you very much for the time. I just wanted to make sure, don't get hot with me. I just want to make sure everybody's still confident in Tito Jr. there. Thank you very much for the time.
I would never get angry with you, Kenny.
All right, Todd, thank you very much. Oh, by the way, everybody listen to Todd's podcast with his brother, Matt. Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast. It's on the free Odyssey app. They're both based out of here in Cleveland. I mean, come on, what else can you do? Todd, thank you very much.
Anytime. And Matt's back. So Thursday, I'm no longer solo. Thank goodness. I'm glad you guys have each other because I don't know how people do it alone.
I couldn't believe you did 32 by yourself the other day. Well done.
I know. Oh, wait, let me just say one thank you. Hmm. One last thing. We had Daryl on. Daryl I had on after the weekend. He was awesome. Love me some Daryl. Daryl's my new guy. Those are facts. He's great.
Usually it's the ladies who say that. Todd, thank you so much.
See you, boys.
Todd Derry on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
It's been really interesting. You know, we put our take on whether or not Stephen Kwan or Emmanuel Clase should be untouchable going forward for the Guardians if you're a 500 team at the deadline. And we put it up. It's already on 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the audio is up on the free Odyssey app. We have some videos out, and it's been interesting.
By the way, Guardians fans, good job telling us that you liked that content. I feel like oftentimes I'm like, people be like, why are you talking Browns quarterback for the millionth time? It's like, well, every time we talk Guardians, you don't give us enough back. That was a lot. That was a lot of reaction back. That's what we need.
Oh, you weren't being sarcastic then.
Not at
That's
all.
That's exactly what you were
no.
Okay,
like, that was good. Like, good job, Guardians fans. Like, that was there's a lot of views on that. There's a lot of people talking about it. Like, that's the point. That's the idea.
But it was really interesting to me that Guardians fans that have responded, and you're right, there have been quite a few responses to the idea of neither you or I think Kwan or Clase should be untouchable. It's been interesting that they put Kwan in a different stratosphere as Clase. And maybe I'm thinking too literally here. I look at two guys with a certain amount of controllability left, and I think it's more likely that Clase stays in Cleveland beyond this contract than it is than it is Kwan.
But are the Guardians prepared?
I don't think there's a chance he's re-signing.
Will they pay Kwan $100 million plus? Because that's the going rate right now for Stephen Kwan. It's going to be, that'll be a $100 million plus.
So is that $20 million a year? Like when we say like what is it actually, $25 million? Is it about the average?
No, I think it's going to be, that's where we got to figure this out. Is it exactly Andrés Giménez's deal? Probably not.
I would say it's more, right?
Yeah, it should be. I mean, think about it. 70 guys in baseball right now are making $20 plus million a year. Is Stephen Kwan one of the best 70 in the sport? Probably.
Yeah, I think we'd agree.
Is Stephen Kwan also the type that on Instagram had a whole sheet of the amount of money that he wanted to be paid and was mad at other players that weren't that were being paid more than him? Yeah, so you're probably going to have some tax associated with that as well, because Stephen did not like and did not enjoy the arbitration side of things and everything associated with what it takes to be a younger player up in baseball. So yeah, I would imagine he's gonna make you probably pay a pretty penny. Like I don't get the vibe, Nick, maybe this is where we skew away with the Stephen Kwan conversation, I don't get the vibe that he's taking any sort of hometown discount.
Agreed.
And I would go the other direction. I would say he's going to try to make up for the last couple years of the deal where the Guardians ended up getting basically pennies on the dollar for what his services was.
I don't mean this in a way, because I think sometimes we do the thing of, oh, he took a hometown discount, and then that adds special appeal. And we almost have to the opposite, to the contrary of that. We almost have like a sneer on our face, you know, like with Shane Bieber. It was understood that Shane was not going to sign a long-term contract extension with the Guardians because of who his agent is and what his philosophy is in what he wants. He wants to get paid. And the only reason he's still here is the injury. That ended up extending Shane's career. Otherwise, if he had been healthy this last year and he had hit free agency, he would have gotten one of those ridiculous deals handed out. But it was always known with Shane, he's not going to resign in Cleveland. Early on, they broached it. He was, just not interested at all. There's no hometown. I'm not going to get Kluber'd, as it were. I've always felt the same about Stephen. And by the way, he's a contact first, gold glove left fielder.
Which is like a dying breed in baseball.
Yeah, he should be looking for that one big payday because there might not be one after it. I just look at it and it's like, guys, because it's funny, several Guardians fans who interacted with us on social media were like, he's untouchable. It's like, guys, they were going to trade Hosey if Hosey didn't accept an extreme team-friendly discount going into the 2022 season. That guy is quite honestly the heart and soul of everything they've done and a backbone of a decade run. That is, and I'm sorry, his numbers are, and they're very similar, but his numbers are more impressive to what Lindor's done. He's been a much more consistent player. Frankie's been, I'm going to be a 3-war player, I'm going to be a 7-war player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they're willing to do that with Hosey, guys, I'll be honest with you. I love Steven. I think he's fantastic. I love watching his approach. You can say the Ichiro comparisons because Steven's a big Ichiro fan. There's a couple other players, and I see every comp that people have for him. I love Steven. I could not love watching this guy hit more. But in an era where you are not, this is not just the Guardians aren't spending. No. Because the people were saying that when they signed Edwin Encarnacion and they routinely had a top 15 payroll. No, this is that on steroids. So in an era where your ownership group is committing no future money, that isn't an absolute steep hometown discount, which he ain't giving you. And with a roster that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know why we should expect DeLauder or Kafis or any of these young guys in the system to suddenly produce when the last 7 iteration of those guys haven't produced. So, all right, you've got a flawed roster. You've got a player who won't be here after 2.5 years.
Yeah.
If you could get something stupid for him, you should. Like that, I think that's where we are. Nobody wants to do. Yeah. There's nobody out there saying, like, I'd like to watch that guy play baseball in Cleveland less. But this really is what all the people said it is. You didn't build on that team. You took a huge step backwards. If that's true, there's only, guys, you're not going to spend your way out of this. And even if you did you see what spending your way out of it got you? It got you Santander getting a 5-year deal,
yeah, and
which
I also,
is irresponsible.
I don't think they would do the type of thing on how like Giménez's contract was structured up, where he made very little in the first couple years, and then they backloaded the rest of it. Basically, what they did is they saved themselves so they could offload it to a team like Toronto if things went south. I just don't think Kwan would sign himself up for a deal like that.
And so, like, I don't. Hosey to me, and now it's different because he's got the no movement clause and he's 32. And so even if you put him out there, you're not going to get the same kind of return. There's one untouchable guy in this roster. And I think with each loss, we're getting closer to, well, we got to start thinking about 2026. And nobody, by the way, nobody wants this.
No, it's not a good spot, especially when you're one game out of the wild card, but it's the reality.
But with the way parity works, and quite frankly, people are going to make the dumbass comments of, oh, we threw a couple of AAA players who don't do anything. Name me the trade. People go to Yonier Davis and they'll go to Junior Caminero. Mm-hmm. All right, name me the blockbuster trade they've lost. Because the production through the first 3 years of the Frankie Lindor trade, you were winning that trade significantly until last year. So you won that trade. The Cliff Lee for Cookie Carrasco trade, you won. All the iterations of the Bartolo deal, you won. The one thing this organization does not do is lose on those deals. It might be a push, but they will not lose. And that's so if I'm going to put my eggs in a basket with it, it's not going to be, hey, maybe one of these guys that you've drafted that fits a profile that doesn't damn work, maybe suddenly they'll add 30 home. No, that's not happening. I'm not putting eggs in the basket of the family going out and spending a lot of money. So what are your ways to get better? There's one way, and it happens to be the one thing that this organization does as well as anybody in baseball.
So wait, are you trading for proven talent then? Is that what you're telling me?
No. That's no. But you would have to get guys who are okay, similar to the end of this trade will never happen again the way it happened. But similar to the way that like Sizemore was the guy that was 3 years away, but Cliff Lee and Brandon Phillips were ready. Like that, you're hoping for potentially three big prospects for either Class A or Kwan. And you're hoping two guys can help you and maybe even as early as the second half of the season. But really, you're starting to focus on 2026.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I would want in return for Kwan. And I think this is where it's going to be a hard convo because I just don't know that his value is going to be massive compared to what the fan base's value of Kwan is. I'm just taking like a realistic look of Stephen Kwan.
And I think that's fair. I don't know what it is because he's such an outlier.
In today's game, it's so different. And he has such a different skill set. But in today's era where, I mean, hitting for average just isn't, it's just not appetizing to a lot of people. But what he does and the left field and gold gloves and everything associated with it, I just don't know what his value is. It's value. It exists out there. That's why we're talking about him as a $100 million player. But I don't know exactly what it is.
And here's the thing. I think $100 million is low. I think because he's such a unique player, I do think he'll get $30 million a year. I think he will. I think he'll get a butt ton of money when he actually does hit free agency if he keeps up what he's done. But you're right to say sometimes what you get paid in free agency isn't commensurate with what the trade value is. And by the way, I'm not definitive that you wouldn't get what you want. I just don't know.
Right now, it's hard because I'm so down in this front office and the ability to, even if they traded for a player, unless they traded for some of these bats that are so good, you can't even tinker with it and be able to mess it up. I just don't know if you're getting that in return for Stephen Kwan right now.
216-474-0092. We did ask earlier in the show, are Class A and Stephen Kwan, are they untouchable for the Guardians? I don't think there's anybody untouchable with where they are and what they need and how they can get better. Because I do think if you can find two or three good bats with a controllable bats over the next couple years, I think the rotation is set up to succeed. And I think the bullpen, even without Class A, is set up to succeed. But is 2026 becoming the focus for the Guardians? I think with every loss, with every series loss, we're inching closer to that being a real conversation for the Guardians. And Nixtradamus spoke two Fridays ago. What did I get right? And what did I get wrong? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Matt Derry joined the Mountain Boys earlier today. We in kind of getting in on the conversation about who's untouchable and who isn't for the Cleveland Guardians.
It was Todd, not Matt.
I also love Todd Derry.
Position player-wise, Kwan is completely untouchable because I think that they're actively trying to extend him. Whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. On the other side of it, you mentioned Emmanuel Clase. I brought this up 2 weeks ago. I think he's the biggest trade chip they have. And after next season, he has back-to-back team options at $10 million. And you know, when those prices rise, we like to get out from underneath those contracts. And the fact that he has those club options and is still one of the best closers in the game, makes him big time trade target for a team who could use a back end guy in their bullpen.
So one, hard living Todd Derry.
What do you mean?
That sounded like Jake after his incredible Sunday, where Jake came in and was like, "Your boy went a little too hard this weekend."
Jake Murren, not Jake Volnick, by the way, for people out there.
Because every day is going too hard day for Jake Volnick.
Yeah, it's the expectation and the standard. Jake Murren, though, only gets drunk when he plays yard games, and I appreciate that.
Hey, I think that adds a little spice there. Now, specific to what he said, I don't think Kwan is untouchable. And honestly, I actually think, like, I think we're in a moment where I think you should just go to him and be like, listen, we love you. We know where we are with the contract. Are you going to re-sign with us or not?
Kwan, you're saying.
Yeah, Kwan.
Yeah, did you take anything away from how googly-eyed he was with the city of San Francisco? Obviously, he's from San Francisco. There were some people last night after the game that were upset with the comments he was making and going a little bit overboard about playing in his home city. I'm serious. People got very upset with it. It was like, he's playing in his home city. It's okay. He's not shopping himself out there because he's saying nice things.
Even if he was, it's his home city. You're allowed to love your home. Guys, I did nothing but compliment Cleveland and talk about how much I love Cleveland when I lived in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody got mad about it, I was like, so you go somewhere else and you just don't talk about your hometown and who made you who? And immediately people were like, yeah, you're right. Like that.
People were upset.
I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, people were upset. Yeah.
That to me goes right there with the 3% of Guardians fans who want to trade Jose to prove something to the Guardians.
I just wonder right now if it feels like a lot of this Guardians team can't do anything right in a lot of people's eyes. And I think a lot of people are mad still. And I think a lot of people are just finding any reason to go ahead and find ways to, I don't know, be disruptive about this team.
Now to the Class A thing. I think Class A's value is incredibly interesting, given the amount of control they have over him, how affordable he is.
I don't know how to judge it is the problem I have, right?
Same thing with Kwan, by the way. They're two incredibly dominant and I do think unique players, because you just don't get an elite leadoff hitter or an elite closer with this kind of control.
Yeah, I also don't want to cite trades from 10 years ago at this point. You know, I want to bring up like the Andrew Miller trade, for instance. I want to bring up the Aroldis Chapman trade, for instance. You just don't see as many massive trades involving closers of Emmanuel Clase status. And on top, I really just don't know what's the starting point.
So my starting point is the Andrew Miller trade. Now, we can scoff at what Clint Frazier became or what Justice Sheffield became. There's two other prospects that I can't remember off the top of my head, but we can scoff at what they became. But those were three of the top 11 prospect for the Guardians. Yeah, if I'm going to trade an elite future Hall of Fame closer, which is the trajectory Emmanuel is on, a guy who can dominate. There are good closers. There are guys who get the job done. And then there are guys who are unhittable when they're at their best. That is Emmanuel, even if it's not been Emmanuel so far this year.
I mean, Hall of Fame is doing a lot of work there. He's good. He's very, very good. He's not Hall of Fame, but that's not the point. The point is, are we going for prospects or are we going for players? I guess we need to figure that out first.
So, I mean, it's kind of interchangeable how we use them. I would want guys who are knocking on Major League Baseball.
Do you make this trade, Nick? Do you make this trade with the idea that Class A is going to net you some of the offensive pieces that you're missing for this season? Or do you make this trade with the idea that you're focused on 2026?
It's about 2026.
Okay. Go a little bit more prospect heavy.
But if those young guys can help come up now and you get some experience, so producing in 2026 is more viable, yeah, I think you got to consider that.
I don't know. It's weird. The closer market's been very weird lately.
So let's say somebody came along. So a player that I have been, I don't say obsessed with, but I really, really liked as a prospect and would have been the centerpiece of the deal that I wanted if they had traded him this offseason is Wyatt Langford. Now, Wyatt is a nice player, but he's hitting .232, 13 home runs, really good defender. One day he's going to be a middle of the lineup bat. If they just said straight up, we'll give you Wyatt Langford. The Rangers.
Yeah.
We'll give you Wyatt Langford for Emmanuel Clase. You do it tomorrow?
Yeah, probably. Because I think this bullpen can survive without Clase, and Langford's going to be a guy that you can have for the next, as long as you want. As long as you want to pay Wyatt Langford, you can have him there.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hit you 20 home runs. He's got some pop to his bat. It's not a crazy amount of pop, but he's got some pop to his bat. Like, yeah, you make that deal.
Complicating Clase is that he is doing his best Bob Wickman performance, who I almost think gets dogged these days. Bob Wickman, before he had arm troubles, early in his time with Cleveland, was really like he was the best closer they had. And that includes with Mike Jackson's ridiculous. I think it's 1998 where he had like a 1 point something ERA. It was afterwards that he became a poor man's futuristic version of Joe Borowski. He was at the end of his career, which, by the way, that happens for 260-pound relievers. That does happen. But even then, like even last night, was like a high wire act. I actually don't think that should impact his value all that much, simply because the recent numbers are telling you, outside of one or two bad appearances, he's back to where he was.
Yeah, he's back to where he was. I really, if I'm the Giants, I would have sent that runner on third, though.
I'm always so torn. Yes, because the game's on the line, but I don't know. I think that's so tough, even in the moment, to say.
I don't think so. I think he would have made it. I like Kwan. I think he would have made it. Did you hear Hosey's comments after the game?
What was that?
Hosey was like, yeah, he would have made it. Like when Jose Ramirez is out there being like, yeah, they probably should have sent him. That would have tied the game. He would have made it. When Jose can safely say that, then I think I feel pretty comfortable with the idea that, although it's respecting the arm that Kwan has, it's a very difficult play. And there's so many pieces that has to go right to nail that guy in that situation.
Can I tell you
that would have gone down as a blown save, by the way, for Class A. Instead, he escapes out of it, and it looks like his perfect record in the past month or so stays intact.
Can I tell you why? The only part of the Class A trade conversation that bugs me a little bit.
What's that?
Cleveland fans, all of a sudden, Guardians fans are super into or intrigued by the idea of trading Emmanuel Clase. And it has everything to do with the postseason, how he struggled this year. I don't think they care about the...
You get worried with relievers. If there's not a position more where when it goes quick than in the bullpen.
I don't think that's why. I think some people have softened what their expectations are of Emmanuel, and I think that's... I hate doing things because in the moment, you give into recency bias. Now, you know me. I said this offseason, hey, if you can get everything you want for Class A, yeah, because you got Cade Smith, because you got Sobrowski, you've got Heron, Trevor Stephens coming back. Like, there are so many things. Like, and, oh, by the way, you just continue to churn these guys out. Andrew Walters, Aleman, there's so many kids you have that can step into your bullpen and be who you need them to be. I just don't like the idea of, well, we're comfortable doing it now because he's got a 3 ERA.
No, people didn't like the TikTok lives. That did rub him the wrong way. It did. I think Class A is, he's so hard to read, though. He, even within himself, I mentioned like last night's game, he pitched so good for the previous month or so. And it's just, it's a hard read. Like, do I think for the next 2 years he's going to continue to be one of the best closers in baseball? Probably. But do I think the bullpen is sink or swim based off of him? I don't. So in that regard, if you can get an Andrew Miller-esque haul, I think you do it 9 times out of 10.
And hope the prospects actually hit.
Just think about the teams that need him, though. Like, think about the teams. Like, we're talking the Phillies. We're talking the Cubs. We're talking the Dodgers. We're talking these teams that are flush with all sorts of talent that you can just take from.
216-474-0092. Is Emmanuel Clase the Guardians' best and biggest trade chip? In case we missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
We brought up, you know, just the notion of the July 31st, 6 p.m. trade deadline.
Tread lightly here.
Because I don't want to say anything.
Tread lightly.
Well, I think it's hard not to look at this thing and say, look where the Guardians are right now. Look where they are in the Central. Now, you can. I think you also have to look at where they are in the wild card. True?
Yes.
So the wild card gives you hope. Unfortunately, you know,
you don't need to be the best team over 162. Just get in, as Dwayne said.
He's
when
right.
Dwayne Kuiper was with us.
Yep.
Giants won, you know, wild card.
So the Guardians go into tonight's game 9.5 games back on the Tigers. At an even 35-35. Now, if you want to look at the wild card standings, knock yourself out. They are only one game back on a wild card spot where the three wild cards are, right? But they also have three teams to jump over, Seattle, Minnesota, and Texas. But again, it is June 17th, so it's way too early to be looking at some of the, I think it is.
But. Well, I think it's also too early.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one question here. And I think this is a big picture thing, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Is trying to squeeze into a wild card playoff spot for 1 year worth keeping something together that you, let's just work under this assumption, that you think isn't built
well enough to go long term. Do you know what I mean? If you could move some pieces and make your team better for the next 2, 3, 4 years, but maybe sacrifice getting in as the last wildcard team and getting the snot beat out of you by the Yankees or somebody. Jeff, is that worth it?
What happens, though, if perhaps, and I'll bring up what we brought up in the last segment about trading Emmanuel Clase, okay? And if you felt like last year was successful, and this is almost like the Cavs, that you just need one or two more pieces, especially someone who can hit the ball, maybe someone who could solidify, and I can't believe one of your middle infield spots, why wouldn't you do it? Especially if you think you have closers in waiting. If you have closers in waiting and you feel like you can bring in someone that could come in here and hit over 300, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Or around 300?
With some pop.
Yeah. That, why wouldn't you do that? And if you're a game back, you know, can you be kind of a seller and a buyer at the same time? I think that's a possibility. If you trade the right guy, and I would think, Jeff, I mean, I'm not going to sit here for the next couple weeks and keep saying this because I hate giving up talent, and I hate giving up talent that you think can help you win, especially in the playoffs. And that would be Emmanuel Clase. It just, to me, the argument that both of you guys made, I think, last segment made a lot of sense. And I think you could go twofold. Could you be a buyer and seller at the same time? What do you think?
Sure, but I don't know what's out there that would make you immediately hop in and say, yep, that's my guy.
Is there a young AAA hitter that is right on the edge that some team might be willing to walk away from?
Yes.
Or a closer?
Remember,
so you're saying all in one deal. Okay, I'm sorry. I was going through the Rolodex in my head. I'm like, no, I don't want any real. I don't want a Rocky. No, there isn't a Marlin out there. I was going through that. I apologize.
Hold on. I just, in the last break, I just, for the sake of this discussion.
Yeah.
I had mentioned the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
I typed in trade closer. That's all I typed into Google.
Okay.
Washington Nationals on SI. Proposed Nationals trade swap shutdown closer for power hitting Dodgers prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You know, do they want the guy from the Nationals, Finnegan, or do they want Emmanuel Clase?
And wouldn't you rather trade with an American League team over a National League team?
I don't care.
That means utterly nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Zero?
Not a damn thing.
The kid's name, Logan Wagner, infielder with the Dodgers, power hitting prospect, 21.
Greg is in North Canton. Hi, Greg.
Okay, first of all, the reason why you trade Clase is, number one, what he did last year probably cannot be replicated.
I don't know how it possibly could, Greg. It might have been the greatest closer season ever.
I'm sick and tired of trading for Jake Bowers 3.0. I mean, that is all we trade. Kyle Manzardo is Jake Bowers, Ben Broussard. In the gap between AAA pitching, AAA hitting in the majors is ridiculous anymore. I mean, Jonathan Rodriguez hits 40 homers in AAA, gets up here, looks like he can't hit anything. John Kenzie tears up AAA pitching. You need a guy that's a can't-miss bonafide guy who's actually played in the majors. None of this guys that are on the fringe. Because we have a ton of those.
So, but here, the problem is, why would a team want to give up someone like that?
Well, if you got to win now, you got to win now. I mean, that's the thing. In the Dodgers land, you got to win every single year.
And you can replace them every year with free agents. And you have a good farm system that develops talent too, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Some teams just have to win every year. And you just can't keep this process. The bottom line is, if you think about the offense has been like this since the All-Star break last year. That offense that you saw in the first half of the season, overachieved. This is what it is. I mean, weren't they like the worst hitting team after the All-Star break last year?
It's food for thought. There's no question. Greg, thank you. Greg in North Canton checking in. You know, we're bringing up the notion of Emmanuel Clase, and should he be the guy that should be shopped around here as we get 6 weeks out?
Or is he hands off? He's under contract, reasonable contract. He's as good as anybody at his position in baseball.
I'll go back to what Dan said, that you can ask for the world with him.
You give me $1.25 on a dollar, we're having a conversation.
I mean, I get it. No, I get it.
That's where we are, because the thing with the Guardians is they don't have to do it. This isn't Josh Naylor. This isn't Francisco Lindor. This isn't Ubaldo Jimenez. This isn't any of those moves. This is, he could stay here. We're good with him staying here. He could keep pitching for us. That's great. Here's my price. And meet me at my price.
And unfortunately, if you're looking to trade him, or if you don't want to, unfortunately, they have a surplus there because Cade Smith looks like he could do that job right now. And that's not, I'm not going to say better than Class A, but he's going to go out and get you saves and pitch well. I think Hunter Gaddis could do it. Andrew Walters was the closer in waiting until he just messed up, his labrum, and he's going to be out for a while. But Sam Hentges is coming back. Could Tim Herron close games? You bet he could.
He is under contract next year, Emmanuel Clase, for $6.4 million.
Unbelievable.
Followed by two club options for $10 million and $10 million.
Which means some team could trade for him and have him under contract for 3 years.
For four playoff
at a bargain
runs.
Basement.
Four.
So now is
runs.
It a $1.50 on the dollar?
That's why. That's why
you were only $1.25 a minute ago. Now I'm already up to $1.50.
Yeah. That's why the Guardians can stand here and go, you want to do it? Here's our price tag. Hey, Red Sox, it starts with Roman Anthony. Like, you can play that card because it's like, hey, man, you've got I got 4 years of this guy.
Yeah.
If you think you need to win now, let's go. Like, that's the card you can play.
And, I can't imagine the Red Sox saying, that's a great idea, let's do it. However, if that happened and Roman Anthony considered the number one hitting prospect in baseball,
right?
If they said yes, I'm sorry, you trade Emmanuel Clase.
I might drug test them if they said yes, but yeah, I would trade them Emmanuel Clase before the drug test.
That's exactly right. But that's the situation. If somebody jumps and gives you one of the top hitting prospects in all of baseball, and I know prospect doesn't mean star, prospect means exactly what it means. But I mean, you could slide Cade Smith into the closer job, and he would do the job for you.
Mm-hmm.
Could he be as good as Clase? Hard to imagine, but who's going to say no?
AP is in Strongsville. AP.
Hey guys, thanks for talking guards this morning, afternoon, whatever it is.
Our pleasure.
Hey, so a couple things. The first part is when you mentioned Clase and the Dodgers, the name that I go loopy for and hope that they can get is Andy Pages.
That's my dude too.
I love that guy. I'd go pick him up from the airport. He can stay with me in the Ville for a little while he gets settled in.
The Ville.
Really excited about that. Here's a couple other things though that they have to do. I love both of these guys. Carlos Santana and Lane Thomas also have to be gone sooner rather than later. It would be quite frankly malpractice if we don't get C.J. Cephas and Chase DeLauder 300 plate appearances, and we can't do it with either one of them still on this roster. I love Los. He's a Guardians Indians legend, but he's tying up. His value is not on this team.
It's right clogging the drain, right? It's clogging the drain, yeah.
It's now costing Manzardo at bats because they're giving David Fry at bats. Yep. And Cephas's main position is first base. And AP, I'll push back on you just a little bit. I don't know that DeLauder's ready to come up because he might not have enough at bats in the minors to be confident enough to come up here. Sounds like Cephas does.
Cephas does. My thing with DeLauder is I believe next year he will be a guy that you have to put on your 40. Otherwise, he'll be exposed to the rule 5. So why not just let him come up here? And you got to see, because what they do, what I feel like the Guardians have run themselves into the last 5-6 years, even going back to the end of Tito's time here, is they just don't get guys enough at bats in times, a couple years ago, Tito's last year when they were struggling and they finished below 500. We had Ahmed Rosario taking 500 at bats, and you miss seeing if those AAA guys can succeed. A guy that I kind of go back to now, this is a little while and a couple teams ago,
because the Twins have a guy, Willie Castro, who could never play here. Willie Castro would be the perfect guy on a team, on this Guardians team right now. He's a guy who could play everywhere over the field, but they never give these guys enough chances to see. I think this year, unfortunately, looks like one of these years where they're going to probably hover around 500. They can't do it by getting Lane Thomas, Carlos Santana.
And giving away those at bat. I totally agree with you, AP. Thank you, AP in Strongsville. Checking in, 216-474-0092. I want to continue on with this, too. The thought of maybe Clase being the guy that you should trade, or do you have somebody else? Carlos Santana's name has floated around there. Plus, I got a couple of things I want to get to when we come back. Jake Chapman's going to join us at 1 o'clock. He is the voice of the Orlando Magic.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.